What's up, Bridge Church family? Pastor Chris here from Divine Unity Community Church. I'm so delighted to be able to greet you today, and I'm excited to be able to share a word with you. Me and Pastor Edwin, who is one of my best friends in the entire world, we've been able to discuss, pray about things that are happening right now. I do believe that this word today is going to be a blessing to you. We'll be in Psalm 23, and we're going to be talking about how the Lord has you covered, and maybe today, you will get the comfort of the shepherd in your heart, in your mind, and in your spirit. I do believe that the Lord is about to set a new pace for each and every one of us who adhere to his word, that these things that are happening right now didn't surprise him. It might have surprised us, but our God has us covered. Listen, I want you to do something for real with me. One of our house habits is participation is better than observation. In other words, I don't want you just to stream this. I don't want you just to watch this sermon. I want you to go ahead and share today. I want you to share, start a watch party, and see how many people, see how many friends, how many of your cousins, how many of your coworkers who might not be tuning into a church at all this morning. See how many of them can get involved today. Listen, I'm excited to be with you guys. I got my Bridge Church shirt on today. I was made for this. And family, I want to encourage you, you were made for this as well. The Lord's got you covered. Come on, let's dig into this word. We kicked off this short mini-series called The Lord is My Shepherd. And we talked about it from John chapter 10, Know the Difference. This week, we're going to continue with that theme, The Lord is My Shepherd, but we're going to go to Psalm 23. We're going to go to Psalm 23, and I'm reading it out of the New King James Version. Psalm 23, out of the New King James Version. And we know participation is better than observation, so wherever you are, you either can rise to your feet, make sure you get to the text, read it along. Matter of fact, you can read it out loud wherever you are. Just follow the rhythm of the beat. Here we go, family. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Come on, that's already good. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading of his word. I want to use one title, topic, subject, and focus for this day, for today, is this: He's got you covered. He's got you covered. God's got you covered. Go ahead and type that in if you're online. God's got you covered. Go ahead and get that real quick. God's got you covered. Today we're going to see that the Lord, being our shepherd, he is present with us. It's a personal confession. Not only is it a personal confession, he sets a pace for us. And so today we embrace the Lord as our shepherd. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we believe that you have assembled us all across the airwaves to send a message to the kingdom of darkness that you still win. And so, Lord, let your word go forth. And wherever your word goes, something changes. So to every address that is represented, to every family that is represented, to every home that is represented, to every apartment, townhouse, to every house that is represented, Lord, for every phone, every laptop, every TV that is streaming in, God, we let your word loose to be able to reach those folks and change something in their lives. So God, we thank you now, God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, anoint me afresh as I preach your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, we thank you. We honor you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. He's got you covered. Psalm 23. So today, we are in a text that is very familiar to many people. So for some of us, today is going to be a reminder. For some of us, today is going to be a revelation. But I believe that for all of us, it's going to be refreshing. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever had one of those mornings, one of those days, maybe even one of those weeks or seasons when you just feel like you overslept. I don't know about you, but when I oversleep, I wake up and immediately the revelation hit me, I'm late. And this panic jumps up on the inside of me. Literally, I almost start sweating. I have to send a dreaded text message or phone call to let somebody know that I'm going to be late. And immediately, I'm already feeling like I have lost the day. I don't know if you ever felt like that. I don't know if you ever felt like you always were caught in the place of being unready. I know unready might not be a technical word, but you get the gist of it. That in many ways, you feel like, man, I'm just not ready for what's coming at me today. Some of us, we're in seasons and in moments where it seems like the to-do list that's in our mind never really gets checked off. It always seems like that there is more things to do than it is in hours in the day. I remember on February 19th, 2020, to be exact, I remember oversleeping and I woke up and I found myself stressed already that I overslept. I started my day off in a way that I did not plan. And at that moment when I woke up, I'm glad that I had a discipline that reminds me, read your Bible every day. As I woke up in my panic, before I started trying to clean up what my oversleeping may have done, I remember grabbing my devotional. As I'm reading the Bible in a year, thankful to the YouVersion Bible plan, I grab my device and I'm reading my devotional. And the opening scripture that day was Psalm 23. And as I read it, as I began to glean from it again and hearing the words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As I continue to read this, I began to get this thought and this revelation. I was simply reminded this thing, and this is what I wrote in my journal that day. God's got you covered. I believe that's the word today, that no matter how bad things seem, no matter how late you may feel, no matter how unready you may feel, here's the word, God, he has you covered. He has you covered. He knew what the day was going to hold. He was prepared for it, even if you were not. And so the things that surprise us don't always surprise God. The Lord is my shepherd. He's got you covered. As we come to this moment in this time in history, I don't know exactly when you may be watching this, but currently we're in this place where the coronavirus has caused an entire global pandemic, that this pandemic has caused a crisis that nobody came to expect. Here are the words that we constantly hear when people talk about this. We are in unprecedented times. We are in uncharted territory. We are in strange times. It's to the point, we don't know when it's going to end, how it's going to end. And so people are just saying, for the foreseeable future. These are some words that I actually get tired of hearing. It is true. But every time you hear a news broadcast, a leader stand in front of people, we have to be reminded that we are in unprecedented times, uncharted territory, strange times. And for the foreseeable future, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. It's in this moment that I must confess that this quarantine, that this whole thing with the coronavirus, not only has it caused us to be stretched into a place that we never thought we would be in, but also it has exposed some stuff. It has exposed some stuff. Yes, that might be something that you want to write down based on what I'm about to say. This quarantine has exposed a lot of stuff. In other words, it has exposed some of our greatest idols. It has exposed some of our greatest idols. And let me name a few. This might not be all of them, but it's exposed the idol of busyness. It's exposed the idol of control. It's exposed the idol of self-sustainability. It's exposed the idol of economic stability. And you might be able to fill in something else, but when this crisis hit and people weren't ready, now it has caused us all to be stripped down to a place where we are left vulnerable. We are left now in these different levels of grief, these different levels of fear, these different levels of panic, and we are now all left vulnerable. I don't know about you, but I don't like being vulnerable. Nobody really likes being vulnerable. This means that you are susceptible to attack. This means that something is unstable. This means that you are in danger, at risk. You're in jeopardy. Nobody really likes to be vulnerable. And now, if we are at this place, businesses have been shut down. Large gatherings have been stopped. Concerts, movie premieres, theme parks, sporting events, churches, all these things have come to a screeching halt. Over 3 million people have applied for unemployment, and now we come to this place where stress and anxiety levels are climbing. We have been stripped down, and we feel vulnerable and susceptible. What do we do when we find ourselves in a vulnerable, defenseless, susceptible position? It's in this moment that the parallel that we see throughout the Bible really makes us understand. In the Bible, we are constantly referring to as sheep. And now it's in this moment when we are susceptible that we begin to recognize we are much like sheep. Psalm 100 says, "It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are the sheep of his pasture." And as we see this thing, that as Jesus looks upon the people in Matthew 9:36, and he looks upon them and he is moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. We are in this place where we are vulnerable. One commentator said it like this: lions are known for their strength. Deer are known for their speed. What are sheep known for? Their susceptibility. And when we find this moment, sheep are defenseless animals, and they are not the smartest animals. They don't have fangs and claws. They don't have real good speed, and so they are constantly in danger. And so when Jesus looks upon the people and he sees them like sheep without a shepherd, he sees that they are susceptible to danger. And family, here's the good news. In Matthew 9:36, it says he was moved with compassion. Yes, our Savior was moved with compassion. To him being moved with compassion, it wasn't just that he was moved then, but he is moving with compassion right now. Here's the good news, family. He knows your susceptibility. He knows your vulnerability. He knows your stupidity. He knows how unstable you may be. But yet, here's the good news that we see in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He saw us without one, and he saw and came down to be our good shepherd. Family, that's the good news right there. The Lord is my shepherd. In the midst of this crisis, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of the panic, in the midst of the grief, the Lord is my shepherd. Long before there was a stimulus package voted on, long before the government had something to sustain us, there was a shepherd, and his name is Jesus. His stimulus package is greater than $2 trillion. His stimulus package got goodness and mercy in it. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Every time I get this, I begin to look at the different versions of the Bible. And I looked at the NIV. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." I looked at the NLT, said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall have all that I need." I looked at the ASV, the American Standard Version. It says, "The Lord is the one who is shepherding me. I lack nothing." However you look at it, here's the word: he's got you covered. There you go right there. He's got you covered. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that lacks nothing? Aren't you glad that we have a shepherd whose wells never run dry? Aren't you glad that we have a God that's already promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us? He's got you covered. Now, this thing right here, Psalm 23, verse 1, it blessed me, because the Psalm 23 and John 10 are my personal life scriptures for this year. And my big banner word is shepherded, where the Lord is helping me understand what it means to be shepherded by him. And as I look at Psalm 23, verse 1, here's the first thing that jumped out to me. It says, "The Lord is..." What's that M word right there? "My shepherd." The first thing is that this psalm is personal. This is a prophetic poem that's personal. As David being a shepherd, long before David was a king, long before David was a warrior, David was a shepherd. And before he was a shepherd, he recognized he was a sheep. As David would watch over his sheep, as David knew that he would have to lead them, he would have to feed them, he would have to protect them, he began to recognize, you know what, I'm not the first one to do this because I have a shepherd who's been leading me. I have a shepherd who's been protecting me. I have a shepherd who's been guarding me. I have a shepherd that's been watching over me. I have a shepherd that has provided all that I need. And if you're willing to grab this word by faith, you'll know that he can be your shepherd too. No matter your color, no matter your socioeconomic status, no matter your education level, no matter your age, if you will let him, he'll shepherd you. The Lord is my shepherd, and that word is personal, family. The Lord is my shepherd. And family, that's only verse one. Let's keep the party going. Psalm 23, verse 2-6, I begin to see something. As I was journaling that day on February 19, 2020, to be exact, as I was journaling, the Lord began to show me that this shepherd, he guides, he restores, he leads, he protects, he vindicates, he provides, he pursues. That's just a basic outline. He guides, he restores, he leads, he protects, he vindicates, he provides, he pursues. And so as I was looking at this, I began to break it down and said, Lord, help me be able to be your sheep. I don't want to be a goat. The goat don't always listen. I want to be your sheep. I want to follow you. I want this thing to be personal for me. And Psalm 23, verse 2, it says he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This whole thing says he leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. In other words, he sets a pace for your life. He sets a pace for your life. Last Sunday, me and my wife, we went for a run. Let me rephrase that. She went on a run. She made me run, okay? And she likes to run. I don't like to run. I tell people I'm built more to tug and to smash things. I don't have good gas mileage to run a long way. And here's the thing, though. When we were running, because when I run, it's like torture. Mm-hmm. When my wife runs, she hears from the Lord. When I run, I hear from the devil. I hear things like you're fat, you're going to die soon, and it's just bad. My back pain is, I just feel bad. But here's the thing. When I run, I want to get it over as soon as possible. I want to get to my destination as soon as possible, so I'm going to run as fast as I can. The problem is I don't have a good pace. And so now I torture myself by trying to get there too soon. I torture myself by not having a good pace. But when I'm running with my wife, because she enjoys it, she sets a pace for me. And so while she's running, I'm pacing with her. And now here it is. I know some of y'all are just marathon runners, but for me to run a mile and not die, God is good. And so here it is. We ran 2.5 miles last week, and on the last quarter mile, I mean, I let it rip. I was gone. I was sprinting, and I got to my driveway, and I didn't fall out. And you know how I was able to get to my destiny? It's because I had a good pace. Let me go back to Psalm 23. It says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. What has happened right now is that as everything has slowed down, as everything has stopped, one of the greatest blessings in the midst of all of this crisis is we finally now get to catch the rhythm of the shepherd. In other words, we finally now get to catch his pace, because his pace allows you to go at a sustainable speed that will get you to your destiny, and you'll be able to celebrate when you get there. He sets a new pace for our lives. Somebody should go ahead and type that in. Somebody should go ahead and write that down. That he sets a new pace for my life. But Psalm 23, verse 3, it literally sets the framework for the rest of the psalm. It says he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here's the thing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, opens up the psalm, because sheep only lie down when they are free from three things. When they are free from fear, when they are free from flies, and when they are free from famine. Sheep only lay down when they are free from fear, when they are free from flies, and when they are free from famine. Here it is, Psalm 23, verse 4, now addresses the fear. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Mm-hmm. So family, what we find is there was two tools. There was two tools that the shepherd had. He had his rod, had his staff. And the shepherd, and David being a shepherd, he says, when I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, because the shepherd will have to lead the sheep, down these narrow paths around danger, around rivers. And so the shepherd had these two tools, thy rod and thy staff. If you notice, the rod is significantly shorter because when one became a shepherd boy, they were then given a rod. Before they had a flock, they had a rod. The reason why they had the rod was because they had to, well, when they first was making the rod, they would make it to custom fit each shepherd. So then they could be able to handle it with ease. And so it was short enough so they could be accurate in throwing it and hitting a target. They would have competitions with it. And so with this rod, understand, the rod was made to attack. The staff was made to attract. Okay, bars. The rod was made to attack. The staff was made to attract. And so when you see a shepherd with this rod, it was an extension of his right hand. This means he walked with authority. This means he walked with a confidence that if any danger came around, I have something that if you reach, I'm going to teach. There you go. Uh-huh. And so now the rod was the thing that he would use to beat off danger. Mm-hmm. But that's not the only reason why he had the rod. He also had the rod for discipline, because not all sheep really listen the way they're supposed to. I'm not even talking about you right now. I'm talking about the person who's watching beside you. Because what the shepherd would have to do for the sheep who would not listen to keep them out of danger, he had to discipline them. Don't you know the Lord loves those whom he disciplines? He disciplines those whom he loves. In other words, he knows his discipline is greater than your self-destruction. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure you get that, because some of us mad when he disciplines us, but if you let him discipline you, he'll keep you from destroying you. And so we find that the rod was used to discipline, either bruise or either break a sheep's leg. I know that sounds crazy, but what will happen is once he breaks the sheep leg, then the sheep will be dependent upon the shepherd in order to get around. In other words, the discipline did not cause distance. The discipline caused intimacy. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all about to get this, because you've been thinking that God's been punishing you. And actually, he's been inviting you. Because when the shepherd had to hold the sheep in his arms and walk around with him, this means the sheep had an opportunity to learn the shepherd's voice again. For some of us, you're in a season where he's been disciplining you so he can bring you closer. While the world is social distancing, the Lord is closing the gap spiritually, that he wants to bring you closer so you can hear his voice. I will fear no evil, because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, while the rod may be used to attack, the staff is used to attract. Notice it's much longer, because now the staff would be used in order to reach sheep when they are trying to go away. To keep them out of danger, he will pull them. The hook on the end will be able to get around their neck and pull them. But also, because sheep are not the smartest animal, this means when they're drinking water, when they're doing daily tasks, that they are in danger. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but maybe that might be you. Sometimes it's just a regular Monday when you're in the most danger, and nobody else might not be around. You're just trying to do something regular. You mess around, open up your computer, thought you was going to listen to a sermon, and then your addiction popped up. Yeah, okay, I'm going to keep on going. And so here it is. The staff is used to guide and pull you when you're cutting up. Uh-huh. And so also when the sheep would drink water, because they had wool, when they would put their head down, if their wool got too wet, they would be pulled down under, which means they would be able to drown. So then the staff would reach and pull them out of water. And so what happens is, what David recognized is that when I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I got something that's going to protect me and something that's going to comfort me. That rod and that staff, they comfort me. And so the Lord frees me from my fear. Our God did not give us the spirit of fear. No, he gave us one of love, power, and a sound mind. He deals with your fear so you can lay down and rest at night. I want to go ahead and address this thing, that the most contagious thing has been fear. But we have an antidote for the fear now. I know they're still trying to figure out what to do with the coronavirus, but we have an antidote for the fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Understand that he didn't give it to you, so he can definitely take it away. He wants to help you be immune to the fear of the world. So while you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. All right, let's keep going, family, because now we see in Psalm 23, verse 5. He not only frees us from our fear, but he also frees us from our flies. There you go. I know some of y'all are like, man, what Pastor Chris talking about? Because when you look at fear, it's external. I mean, it's internal. When you look at flies, it's external. Our fear is not something you see. It's something you fear. It's something that you feel. Flies, you feel them physically, and they are pests. See, flies, they're constantly trying to nag you. I don't know if you ever had that one fly in the house that just seems like they ain't even paying rent. They just freeloading, and they just want to be there. They know how to find your food every time you cook it. Flies are just nagging. They're nagging pests, and you can't really do much about them. You're just swatting at them. One person said, don't kill yourself swatting at flies. If a fly get in your car, you mess around and run off the interstate trying to swat at a fly, because flies can't harm you. Now, flies, they are disgusting. Flies do carry disease. Flies are attracted to death. And so what will happen is in the spring that the shepherd will rub down the sheep with oil. Let me read Psalm 23, verse 5. It says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. That right there, you anoint my head with oil. Because he's recognizing, I'm going to prepare a place for you in the midst of your enemies because you're anointed. Okay, here it is. What happens? God will shepherd you to the place where the things that were your obstacles and your oppositions become your audience. Okay. I needed somebody to be there. I can't even say your haters are your elevators, because your shepherd is your elevator. He just elevates you over your haters. He says he will prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies, that where there are opposers, where there is opposition, where there are obstacles, he puts you in a favorable position. So how do you deal with the enemies and the flies in your life? Get some oil. There you go. Get some oil. See, this is some of that old school church where people knew what anointing oil was, that they believed that it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Remember, it was Samuel's horn that had the oil that anointed David. See, David had been anointed by God, and anointing as a shepherd and as a sheep. And so David says, he anoints my head with oil because it deals with the flies. Okay, here it is. The shepherds in the spring, they had to rub down the sheep with oil so that the flies wouldn't be able to get in their fur, wouldn't be able to get in their wool, be able to get in their nose, because those who were not anointed were more annoyed. Okay, there we go. Because when you don't have anything to repel something, it can then become an irritant. So in other words, you want to stop being annoyed, get some anointing. You got to follow the shepherd. The anointing begins to repel things that will try to cause havoc in you, because the sheep who didn't have oil, they would rub their head against each other, trying to get it and trying to itch it. They would cause scabs that would end up causing illnesses that would go throughout the flock, and even mental illness. See, here's the thing. If you're not anointed in this season, you will rub your head against the wrong stuff with the wrong people, and you will cause an illness to go through your house. Lord, anoint my head with oil that the flies that come against me won't be able to set a nest in me. I want to tell somebody, you've been anointed for this season. He smeared you with power. He smeared you with favor. He smeared you with joy. He smeared you with peace. He smeared you with purpose. I am anointed for this famine. I'm anointed for this crisis. I'm anointed in this moment. He's got me covered. And when I'm anointed, my cup runs over. My God. When I'm anointed, my cup runs over. See, verse 5 begins to give us a pendulum to go to verse 6. He says, my cup runs over. How does my cup run over? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to go back to something real quick. I only got a couple moments. Psalm 23:3, he says, he restores my soul. I don't know if y'all ready to learn something this morning. He restores my soul. In other words, he means he lifts up the downcast. See, this thought came from, if a sheep rolled on their back, they were in a dangerous position because they couldn't quite roll over, which means the blood will flow from their extremities and all go here, which means they cannot function anymore. What the shepherd would do is, the shepherd would roll them back over begin to rub their legs and massage them until the blood flows again. Come on, somebody. Hell, he wants the blood to flow through your bones again. He wants to bring back life. That's revival. He restores your soul. All right, let me jump back to Psalm 23, verse 5, because my cup runs over. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So when he restores you, you now see the benefit of following him, and now you have greater spiritual hunger, greater joy, greater sensitivity to his voice, and now you see that the Lord is my shepherd is not just a personal statement, it's not just a pace-setting statement, but it's a statement that says he pursues me. My Lord deals with my famine. While everybody else is in famine, I'm in favor. Listen, family, I don't know if I'll be able to preach this sermon again, but here it is, Psalm 37, 19. It says this, they are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. Let me run that back. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. I want to go ahead and decree this over you, decree this over those who consider themselves part of Divine Unity Community Church. There is favor in the famine. While other things are falling apart, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. My cup runs over. In the midst of everything that's happening, I have something that's pursuing me. Because not only did the shepherd have the rod and the staff, but the shepherd also had two guard dogs. And those two guard dogs, they would nip and bark to keep the sheep in line. And so those two guard dogs would stay in the back while the shepherd was in the front. Make sure they get a circumference around them. So every time you're trying to cut up, he got these guard dogs, goodness and mercy, that's barking at you. Every time you're trying to go back and lust, you got goodness and mercy barking at you. Don't you know you bought with a price? You got goodness and mercy barking at you. His mercy was new this morning. You got goodness and mercy barking at you, not letting you go out of the favor of your shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Family, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of social distancing, in the midst of looming thoughts of economic depression, it has been my hope and my prayer over my family and my church that we would not be harmed by the famine, but we will put trust in our ultimate resource, which is our shepherd. And family, I want to go ahead and leave you with this, that before there was a Senate-approved stimulus package, before there was a crisis, we had a shepherd, and that shepherd had a package, and it was filled with goodness and mercy. His mercies were new this morning. He didn't have to vote on them. They didn't have to be approved, because he came down with love that endures from generation to generation. The shepherd has you covered long before State Farm, Geico, Allstate, and Progressive provided coverage for life's mayhem. God already covered you with something. He protects you from mayhem like a pandemic. Like a good neighbor, he's there. You're in good hands with the good shepherd. Don't you understand that he has the ultimate price-naming tool in Jesus? You were bought at a price, and he named the price, and it was his only begotten son. You have a shepherd that will walk with you in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. He has now taken the sting of death, hell, and the grave away. And family, the last time I checked, a shadow has no power. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it has no power. He has now defanged our last enemy. Death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its stench. Death is not the ending of the thing. It is the pathway to receive the ultimate promise of the Savior, life everlasting. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. The Lord is my shepherd, he is with me. The Lord is my shepherd, if he is with me, then who can be against me? The Lord is my shepherd. His promises are yes and amen. The Lord is my shepherd. His joy is unspeakable. His peace surpasses all understanding. I would have lost heart, yet I remember, great is thy faithfulness, O God. Family, we are grateful that we know him. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. New mercies I see.
Come on, somebody. Isn't that good news to know today? That Jesus is our good shepherd. He's a good shepherd in the fact that he lays his life down for our sins. And not only that, as we celebrated last week and every week, he raised back to life with all power in his hands so that in him we could have new life. And some of you right now are here today and you are going through the worst right now. It is a dark valley, as Pastor Chris mentioned. But I want you to know something, that you don't have to go through this valley alone. I want you to know that Jesus is for you. And if you have not said yes to Jesus today, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, if you've never come into a relationship with him and asked him to come into your heart, to live on the inside of you, I want to offer you the opportunity today to say yes to Jesus. So right where you are, with heads bowed, with eyes closed, I want you to stretch your hands once again out to God today. If you're ready today to say yes to Jesus, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins and that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for being my shepherd. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Thank you for loving me. I receive your love. I receive your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church family. I want you guys to put your hands together for those who have said yes to Jesus today. If you've made the decision and you just prayed that prayer to give your life to Jesus, you have made the greatest decision that you will ever make in your life. And we want to help you take the next step to grow in your relationship with God today through faith in Christ. And so here's what I want you to do. I need you to do me a favor. If you said yes to Jesus and you prayed that prayer alongside of me, what I want you to do is I want you to text Jesus to the number at the bottom of this video, because what we're going to do is we're going to follow up with you with some next steps as to how you can grow in your relationship with God. We want you to know that you're part of the family of God, and we don't want you to go through this thing alone. So if you could do me a favor, just text Jesus to that number below, so that way we could shoot you an email, follow up with you about some next steps, and just really connect you to all that God has for you today. And before we close out in prayer of today's worship experience, I want to thank you all so much for honoring God in your generosity financially, so that way we can continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community, serving those not only in our church, but also in our community at large. Thank you so much, Bridge family, for honoring God. It is a part of our worship. We honor God and we worship him through our financial generosity, as the Bible says. And so I want to encourage you to continue to give, to continue to honor God. Some of you guys got that stimulus check this week and you were like, man, thank you, Jesus. Man, honor God for that. Be a blessing to somebody with that. Take care of your needs, sure, but honor God with that first. Bring God the first fruits of that and watch how God takes care of the rest. And so you can honor him and give by going to our website, giving at thebridgechurchva.com/give. I want to pray for you today, because I believe that God has so much more for you. I believe that the word that we've heard today about how God is our shepherd, how Jesus is our shepherd, will empower us to do everything that God has called us to do, to be witnesses, to tell other people that they don't have to go through the valley moments of their life alone, but rather they have a good shepherd named Jesus who wants to walk with them through the valley. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for all that our eyes have seen, all that our ears have heard today. We thank you for the worship. And we pray even now that as we go back out throughout the course of this week, as we are going back to all of our responsibilities, I pray that you would use all that we have heard. And as we apply it to our heart, I pray, God, that you would use it for your glory. Help us to love others, to serve others, to bless others the way you have loved, served, and blessed us. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bridge family, I love you. Man, we're praying for you. We can't wait to see you once again next week. Love y'all. God bless. We'll be right back.